Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Hey, you future in your front, man. Yeah, those hoes know how we smoke. Till I feel weightless. Shout out to Burner, he made the cookie famous. Liddy in the city to the strip to Las Vegas. In the Bay, I get busy by my bread, major wages. All about my fetties is the cover with the gator. Cater for the haters. Burn back wood, no Swisher or raw paper. Mac Dre lasers. RBL told us selling barrel weed is dangerous. Catch me, I'm humble, man, my weed feelin' spacious. It is what you make it, you gotta be patient. Picking out the pound and my buzz is so salacious. To the gold cup, we chillin' with the real top rankers. Your mid bullshit, you a fucking punk faker. Five for Reek Daddy, rest in peace to Instigator. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavor like the Bay got players. And when we in the building, bitch, we burning up the greatest. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. And when we in the building, bitch, we burning up the greatest. I smoke Gotti, Hurtada, Gelato 41, and Biscotti. Red Rum, Push Pop, Peter Piss got me. Durham getting burnt when I'm turnt with my Aki's. Off Pig, Cushman, Oreo, Gelati. Going on Provolone, Lucky Bubsy and Bumpy. Mac 1, Red Clifford when I'm with the Cuddies. Pull up to the spot and all the weed head love me. So I smoke all night, but you can't buy nothing from me. It's nothing like blueberry cruffin'. Cake mix, peanut butter breath. I'm puffin' and stuntin'. I like to know cap, backpack, voice rung in. Stay tuned to Thiz, Mac, Mall Strain coming. Then I'm smoking Mac and Mint. A hella rip with Italian ice lit. But I'm working on some shit called Strawberry Nestle Quick. With THC levels about 38%. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavor like the Bay got players. And when we in the feeling, bitch, we burning up the greatest. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. The Bay got flavors like the Bay got players. And when we in the feeling, bitch, we burning up the greatest.
Yeah. That's the type of energy that we bringing in. Episode 469, Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric, Media Assassin, alongside T-Max with the facts.
What it do? King Moa?
Yeah.
K
Yeah, just had, so I had a little bit of technical difficulty. Man, what's going on, y'all? It's Monday Night Raw on OTC, Off the Cuff. Shout out to our co-host, Spiro, a lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. We are coming live and direct, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Dirty Basement Radio, King Air Productions, Da Vinci Clothing. And we say this all the time, King, this is huge tonight. This individual that we have on tonight is you have rappers, you have legends, and you have icons. This man right here that we got tonight is indeed a true coast East Bay icon. Coming straight out of Vallejo, that crest side, representing the best side. I don't think I can appropriately express how much I am a fan of this individual. I first heard him when I was 16 years old, when he dropped Sick With This, and I was like, yo, son right here is going to be that next wave. And he still got the business in the town putting it down. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the man who got it all, who showed us how to Mac, Mac Maul. What up, legend?
Man, what's happening? What's happening, man? It's the MAC, y'all. Mr. MAC Maul in the motherfucking building, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, thank you for joining us, man. This is huge.
Yes, yes. Respect, respect.
Dude, Mac, your legend is established out there, man. And I'm going to just get this out the way right now as we start this show. I mean, the legal business, if Paid in Full is a 17-year-old Rakim Alaa's greatest on the East Coast at his age, you have that album on the West Coast, hands down. That's the equivalent
respect,
of Paid in Full.
Respect, man. Yeah, man, it was just, you know, a culmination of my life, you know, my young life at that time. And it was just, you know, I had my finger on the pulse of just that experience of, you know, 1993, man, and just how we was moving out there. And I just put it all into the music, you feel me? Kyrie made the beat, and Kyrie, Ferg, you know what I mean? We Brother Love, may he rest in peace. We had cats, a lot of cats who contribute on that record, man. You know, it's what some consider a classic, for real.
It is. You know, King, you know, my brother, he...
West Coast, it's like T-Mac said.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Look, we know we had to roll out the red carpet for you because that picture King sent you, that was from my personal collection from the Source magazine, you know. And I got every magazine since 1994 from when I started reading.
that's smacking, man. Yeah, the Source, man, they gave me some love, you feel me? I never got the five mics like I wanted, or the four mics, but you know what I mean? You know, they was kind of biased on the West at a minute, so, you know, I know that 3.5 that I got was something, you feel me? So they wasn't just handing out shit. They was very biased at the time. I appreciate, you know what I mean, how that music means to people. You know what I mean? I'm able to still perform them same songs from that record to this day. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's been many, many moons later and we're still rocking it. You feel me? And it still has the same effect on the crowds like when I first made it.
Yes, sir,
you
man.
Know, one thing
and,
that,
you know,
yeah.
Going on with what we have in the future right now, man, tell her what you've been up to, man. Like, any forthcoming projects that you have coming out this year?
Oh, yeah. Right now, you know, I dropped the NFT. You know what I mean? You can go to www.sayblau.com and get the Mac Maul NFT. You know what I mean? I got some exclusive stuff involved in there, like interviews where I talk about my book, my opinion, and I have interviews with people who really played a part in my life, such as Layla Steinberg, Ray Love, my partner Freaky D from the Romper Room crew, you know what I mean? And, you know, they kind of talk more about the chapters in my book. I have, you know, the Mac Maw, Doobie, Sugar Wolf Pimp record that we wrapping up right now. You know what I mean? Getting some visuals together for that. We're going to be dropping that real, real soon. And we just, you know, we steady moving. You feel me? I'm on the road right now. Me and San Quinn doing a lot of dates.
Hell yeah.
Just rock Oakland. Just rock Oakland the other night. You know what I mean? I was in Houston the week before that. You know what I mean? Me, Be Legit, Yuck Mouth, and Spice One. You know what I mean? So, you know, we keeping it moving, man. Staying active.
Man, look,
man.
I mean.
And what was your, and I'll ask you this too, man. So what was your thoughts on the Super Bowl yesterday? Were you proud of the Rams getting that?
I'm not really, you know what I mean, no super-duper football fan, you know, since Kaepernick, you feel me? But, you know, like everybody else, I wanted to see that halftime, you know what I mean? I thought that was, you know, a big power move from Jay-Z. You know what I mean? And, you know, he had, man, I want to see Dr. Dre on TV anytime. You feel me? I want to see Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, Eminem, 50 Cent, you know, Kendrick Lamar. I wanted to really see that. You know what I mean? I thought it was just, it was a big flex. You feel me? But I thought, you know, it's a California team. You feel me? You know, straight up. They beat Frisco. You know what I mean? So we ain't really feeling that. But, you know, West Coast team won, and they deserve it because they beat a good San Francisco team, you know. It was a good game. It was like, you know what I mean. It wasn't a blowout. You know, they fought to win and they came back and you know got that W. You feel me? For real.
Yeah, man. And I mean, for one thing about it, California, whether you from the Bay, you know, or LA, has always resonated with a deep, 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 you know, impact on the culture. Of course, you know, NWA really set it off on the West Coast to really open up the doors for a lot of those artists, you know, just like Too Short, you know, because there's the big three out there, one of which, you know, is one of your, you know, one of your big homies, rest in peace. Of course, I'm talking about Too Short, E-40, and the late, great Mac Dre.
Yeah, Mac Dre, man, the king of the Bay, for real.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and he definitely, I remember years ago out here, you know, I lived in Virginia, you know, Kings in North Carolina, and my cousin was telling me back in 92, you know, about this nigga named Mac Dre from the Bay. And, you know, out here, you know, I was pretty much on my East Coast, so I really didn't know much about the Bay until a little later on, you know, as I really branched out listening. But of course, going back, you know, you think about, you know, Too Hard for the Motherfucking Radio. I mean, and then,
man,
you know, I mean, Mac was just, and I tell anybody, if you really know your hip hop, whether you in your top 10 or your top 25, you can't leave Mac Dre out in terms of lyrical. I mean, that dude was serious.
Yeah, Mac Dre is a perfect example of a person being they self and that just going over with the people, you know what I mean? Because Dre was funny, but just as funny as he was, you know, he was lyrical and he was a gangster, you feel me? You know, from the locker room. I mean, so, you know, there was a lot of things for people to relate to when it came to a Mac Dre, and he wasn't scared to never be himself. You know, the boy got set up by the feds, you know what I mean? They took him down. He spent 5 years in the feds, came home and instead of being, you know, mad, you know, because he got set up, you know what I mean? He came back, and I don't want to say he reinvented himself. He just turned up. You feel me? He turned all the way up and just started giving the people even more of himself. And then he just like, man, just blew. You know what I mean? Just blew. And even in death, you know what I mean? You know, he got even bigger. You feel me? Me, you know, Kilo in Miami, man, we turned tragedy into triumph. We started Fizz Nation, and man, had one of the biggest independent labels in the game. You feel me? For real. All waving the Furley flag, all waving the Furley, the Mac Dre flag, you know what I mean, and representing, you know, what he represented as far as being your individual, you know what I mean, coming together, being multicultural, you know what I mean, being, you know, just about your business, about, excuse me, about having fun. You feel me? He put fun back in music, and you know, even to this day, man. If you want the Bay to turn up or California to turn up, put on some Mac Dre, and you're gonna see people dancing. You know what I mean? For real. You know, especially when he did it in the time. Yeah, you know what I mean. He makes everybody feel like that, like they from the Bay when you put that music on. You know what I mean? Everybody, you know, for real. And it's still feel good music to this day, man. And we still knocking that. You feel me?
Man, I tell anybody, the Bay, and we got to shout out as many as we can, you know, from your town especially. I mean, we got to shout out downtown. We got to shout out Hillcrest, West Vallejo, downtown South, College Park, Beverly Hills. I mean, we got to shout out everybody on the Bay, man. I mean, we got to shout out, of course, got to shout out, you know, San Francisco, you know, with – you know, I mean, keep it
the city, man, the city, the town, you know what I mean? Just all the flavors, Richmond, you feel me? All the cats that make us what we is, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's all different, but it's all the same, you know?
Yeah, 408, San Jose, I mean, we got to shout to 831, got to shout to Step, got to shout, it's Drew Deasy out in the 408, we see y'all, got to shout out 707, where you is, like I said, 415-510. I mean, you know, so many legends, man. I mean, Paris, you know, the Conscious Daughter, shout out, you know, the CMG, rest in peace, Special One. I mean, you can't forget, you know, Three Times
Rich
Crazy,
history,
I mean, Looney. Yeah.
Giant history, I mean, brother. It's a giant history. You know, just, you know, like it's a lot of legends, you know what I mean, from where I'm from Vallejo, you know, on the Crest side, you know what I mean? We got cats that are putting it down, the Hills, they got Selly Sales, your Be Legit, you know what I mean? Now, you know, we got the youngsters even now, the SOBs, you feel me? It's a lot of flavor. It's a lot of flavor out there, and it's continued to just bring talent. You know, we go far as back as Confunction, you feel me? Confunction from the V. So it's like, you know, we stay putting out stuff. We stay, you know, relevant in the game and pushing hard, you know?
And, I mean, you go, you got this beautiful young lady representing Al Vallejo, too, her.
Yes, I mean, her. Cannot forget her. Ooh. Grammy winning or nominated. She's big, man. She's like one of the biggest R&B stars in the world right now, straight from the town.
Yes, I mean, you know, Gabby Wilson, her real name, I mean, she is getting it. I mean, and anybody who's listened to this show knows I got a serious thing for her. I mean, she
I'm a Giant fan, too, you know what I mean? I'm a Giant fan. I got on her, like, early, you know what I mean, and just thought she was just the man, the most talented, you feel me? And I'm so proud of her, you feel me?
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, one thing is we mentioned all this. Yeah, go ahead, King, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that's a beautiful renaissance going on because you guys – y'all pretty much move with the times, and your times evolve with the sound. Like, y'all went from the, you know, the gangster mob sound, then y'all went to the hyphy movement, to what you have going on now. So it's like y'all evolving within era. Y'all not staying stuck.
Oh, yeah. Nah, man, you know what I mean? Because you got a lot of the people who support us, you know, we have grown together. You feel me? We have matured together. We have saw the different changes and, you know, and just, you know, it's, you know, being from the Bay Area artists, you know, you represent, you know, where you're from and how y'all getting down and stuff like that. So as that changes, as you mature, as you get older, have children, whatever, you know, all that is reflected in the movie, you know what I mean? And when everybody switched to backwoods, that reflected in the music. When, you know what I mean, the type of cars cats is riding, the type of guns cats is holding, the type of weed we smoking, it's all reflected in the music, you know what I mean, straight up.
I mean, Matt, we got so much history to share. I mean, you know, because we're not even a full 20 minutes in, and we're just like going down a list of the legacy of legendary. I mean, you know, we got a shout, of course, Mechanic, shout out Kenny Tweed and Forax, got to shout out your family, Droopy, you know, son of E-40.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
your cousin.
My little cousin. That's
you
my
know,
little cousin,
I
man.
Mean,
he dope.
Yeah, I mean, and you, you know, and I've said this before on the show, there is history, you know, there's one thing to make history, but to truly define history is when history cannot be mentioned without you being talked about in it. And you're part of that. You know, you embody that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell us about your journey from, you know, from the turf, you know, sprouting all the way to growing a full forest of famousness. Please, the floor is yours.
Man, it was, you know, it was just like, man, and it's something that I say about my book, you feel me? You know, the Mac Vaughn story is basically about a kid who, you know, chased his dreams and caught them, you feel me? And that, mm-hmm. and everything that, and, you know, comes with, you know, I've been rapping ever since I was 10 years old, always loved hip hop, always loved the expression of hip hop and music, you know, to the point where, you know, back in the day, I used to have a very bad stuttering problem, but the only time I didn't stutter was when I rapped and when I cussed. You feel me? So hip-hop was early on just a way that I can express myself, you feel me, without stuttering. So I loved it. And, you know, being able to, you know, just be a fan of hip-hop, starting off as a fan, then to start doing it myself at such a young age, and then, you know, that helped me with my speech and everything. And and then, you know, to dream of it, you know, be at my mama kitchen table, man, writing raps and stuff and spitting it to my friends. And then slowly but surely people starting to hear me, and I'm starting to, you know, rap at the Boys Club. That was the first time I touched the mic, was at the Boys Club, Continental. Shout out to Mr. Graham, man, rest in peace. He used to chase me off the stage for cussing and shit, you feel me? But then it was like, you know, hooking up with Mac Dre and, you know, being a fan of his and him being from my turf and just watching him from afar and then actually having him make my first demo, you feel me? And, mm. you know, thinking that I was going to be signed to Romp Records, but he goes to jail. I'm thinking that, you know, my career is fucked up. I'm trying to, you know, at a young age, trying to, you know, have cats take me on robberies and shit because I thought that the rap thing was just, you know, it was a lot of start and stop. Mac Dre gives Kyrie the blessing to produce me. Kyrie finds me, comes to in front of my mama house, and man, plays me what was soon to be a legal business. He played the track for me, and I rapped for him in front of my mom house. He dug me, and I used to basically cut school to record a legal business. I would cut school like fifth and sixth period, get a couple songs in, and you know, go back and catch the Crest bus. You feel me? And you know. You know, the way that we even really made a legal business successful was a lot of, you know, my, Layla Steinberg took it on tour when she was on tour and basically gave it to people. I was out there shaking hands, meeting friends. It was just a, you know, just a campaign. And we really got out there, man, and went to all these states and got out there with the people. We would see the fly cars. We would give them the CD just to play. You know what I mean? And, you know, a lot of the traction that we got was, like, from word of mouth, man. And it was on since there. It was on, you know, Science of Relativity did Untouchable, hit their ass again. You know, had to go to court with Relativity. And, you know, after that, you know, had one of the biggest songs of my career after the court shit, which was Wide Open. And, you know, it was just, man, we kept it moving. And that's at that point when I made Wide Open is when I really became not only an artist but an owner. You know what I mean? I was able to negotiate the ownership of 50% to 100% of every record that I ever put out from that point on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was like from that point, that's when I got into being the owner seat, and we just been, you know, pushing it out, doing different things, dropping the records, you know what I mean? What, Immaculate, Mac and Sweet's Louder New Words, and we just, you know, kept knocking them out. You know, just pushing, man. And then, you know, that whole time, you know, I had, you know, going through personal tragedies. I had, you know, one of my best friends die in my arm, and I got in a badass car accident. I had staples and shit in my head. But from that tragedy, I was able to, you know, to triumph. That's when I actually wrote my book, My Opinion. You know what I mean? When I was, you know, when I was getting back, you know, healthy, I wrote the book, you know what I mean, as a form of therapy And, you know, people, you know, when I was done with the book, people really didn't know how to take it because not you know, we didn't have authors in our circle. We didn't have nobody who wrote a book in these circles that I'm in. So when I would come with these pages and I would tell people that this is my actual book, cats didn't know how to take it. They just like, man, make another record. You tripping. But, you know, through time and through hustle, I was able to, you know, first I tried to go through a publishing house. They didn't respect me because I was a new author. And then it was just hard for me to give my literal blood, sweat, and tears over to somebody and just let them do whatever with it. So, you know, with the help of my homeboy, Rude Jude, shout out to Rude Jude, you know what I mean, over there on Shade 4-5, you know, with the All Out Show, shout out to Rude Jude. He gave me some game, and, you know, I was able to be self-published. So that was just something new. Then I got, you know, not only having the book, I got into, you know, pushing my own merchandise, you feel me? And, you know, similar to Nipsey Hussle, how he had to Crenshaw, you know what I mean? I pushed a line called the Definition Line, and I got, like, the Cuddy Definition, you know, which is one of our biggest sellers. I got all the retro Mac Moore stuff. I just put out the original Mac Moore logo and Illegal Business, you know, hoodies, you feel me, that ain't been out since 93. So, you know, we'll be out here doing a lot of stuff, man. It's just, you know, really branding and, you know, I got the NFT out right now, you know what I mean? And we really, you know what I mean, getting paid off our history, you feel me?
Now, and writing the book was one of the main challenges was actually getting started because, and comparing to writing the record, writing the book is like different formats and positioning your stories in different ways.
I mean, for me, like I say, I was in a bad car accident, so I couldn't move. And I couldn't really move that much because I had back issues. I still got back issues to this day. And, you know what I mean, like I had, 17, 18 staples in my head, you feel me? So I really didn't like taking the prescription drugs because this is the way they made me feel. You know what I mean? So, you know, I would sit there and I couldn't move, but I had so much going on in my mind. You feel me? I couldn't close my eyes because I would see my friend, you know, gasping for his last breaths. So for me, it wasn't hard because I had all these thoughts in my head and I wanted to examine my life and figure out what got me here. What got me in this bed right now? You know what I mean? What decision did I do that got me to this point? Because every cause has an action. You feel me? Every action has an effect. You feel me? So it's like I wanted to know, and I always been a thinker. And I've been reading since I've been 5 years old, so I always loved the written word. And writing was definitely a way that I can express myself and I can tell a story. So for me, it was just, I had so much going on internally that I had to just get it out of me, and I did it through writing. And the way that I was able, people often ask me, like, how did you do it? How did you start? For me, it was like, you know, I just drowned myself in it. That's all it was for me. It was wake up, eat, smoke, write, till I get tired, eat food, write, till I go to sleep. You know what I mean? That's all I could do because it just took over my life. And for me, that's the way to do it. You know, I'm working on it's my second book, Fizz or Die, and it's taking me way longer because it's like, you know, I have other things that I have to do. You know what I mean? And because of my injury and because of my mind state, on that point, it was just like stuff that I had to get out. But this one is like I'm taking my time with it, and really, you know, I can't just shut down and just do that. So it's taking a little longer, but. Yeah, man, ain't nothing to it but to do it.
Understood. And what people have to understand, especially like King was saying in terms of the format, is writing is a very intimate art. If there is one thing that I have really loved over the past few years is, you know, of course, Ice-T with the Ice Opinion, you know, Snoop Dogg, the Dog Father, yourself. Shout out to the living legend, you know, DJ Yella of NWA, who we interviewed some months back. He, you know, he dropped his book last summer. You know, so you all have a history. You all have a story. Most important, a legacy that is printed in those pages that will give you know, future generations an understanding of how, you know, you all came up, the trajectory of your career, the trials, the tribulations, the triumphs, the tragedies, and everything. Now, Matt, when you came out, because one thing that is astounding listening to Illegal Business, I mean, when I first sat down and listened to that album, I was just fucking blown away by it. I mean, your cadence, your lyrical delivery, your bar structure was unbelievable in terms of your metaphors, you know, the way you wrote the beat. And I mean, mind you, you're 17 when you write. You're writing. You wrote this, and it was,
I'm 15.
You were 18 you're 15.
Yeah, I'm 15.
Okay,
I'm 15 years old writing these songs,
okay.
And it came out when I was 16. But I'm 15, and we knew that when it was coming out, so we just said I was 16, but I was actually 15 and 14 and shit.
I mean, dude, that's called being a prodigy at this shit. I mean, damn.
Right, yeah, it was a blessing. I wanted to be an MC, man. I'm not a rapper. I'm an MC. Rapping is something that
right.
I do. You feel me?
Right.
It's one of the pillars of hip hop. You know what I mean? You know, but I'm an MC. You know what I mean? And I come from MCs. You feel me? I come from the Scarfaces. I come from the Big Daddy Kanes. You know what I mean? I come from the Ice T's, the Ice Cubes. You know what I mean? Like, we rap. You know what I mean? We MC. You feel me? We MC, but we do it from, you know, of course, the West Coast point of view. You know what I mean? But you still had to bust. You still had to bust. You know what I mean? And I still, you know, pride myself on having a vicious pen. You feel me? Y'all just played a song that I did, I did that, you know what I mean, probably about 6 months ago, 6-7 months ago, that Bay Area Flavors for Gold Toes, you know what I mean? And I put that up against anything when it comes to that, you know, on that microphone. You feel me? That's why I continue to stay in it, because I know that the day that I quit rapping is when I feel that I can't fuck with the newest cats that's out. You know what I mean? If I can't rap better than them, then I'm gonna bow out. But hey, I still will fuck a motherfucker up. You feel me? For real. Put me in a lab with anybody. You feel me? And I'm finna hold my motherfucking own. I done did it from several. I done rap with Tupac, with Spice One, with E-40. With, you know what I mean? With A-Ball and MJG, with Big Mike. You feel me? And always hold my own. You know what I mean? Do my thing. You know? Might fuck around and steal the song.
I mean, but look at the lineage that you come from, you know, because of course E-40, you know, who I'm a big fan of as well. Shout to Sick Witty, you know, D-Shot,
yeah.
B-Legit, Sugar T, you know, the whole crew, man, the whole clique. Because, you know, watching his unsung, you know, watching the documentary they did, you know, about how it was. One thing about it is the genius of grammar came from the practice that makes the paper. Your whole family are just brainiacs on the microphone. I mean, it's just unbelievable how talented you all are.
I think about that a lot. I definitely done,
yeah.
Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I definitely...
No, go ahead. Please.
Oh,
ahead.
I just think about that, you know what I mean? Because you feel me, like 40 them is older than me, but, you know, and you know, they from the hills, we from the crest, and ain't really been, you know, we ain't really been, you know, had a cool history. It's been a lot of beef, but they always been my cousins and my blood. You feel me? We just from different sides. But one thing that I always trip off of is how, you know, Sugar T, and on my side of the family, we got a lot of girls, and they side of my family, they got a lot of boys. You feel me? So it's like, you know, Lil Bruce, shout out to my cousin Lil Bruce. You know, but Sugar T used to always come to the crest and be with my girl cousins, and like she used, you know, I'm younger than her, so she used to always just mess with me and shit. And to think of like how far we came, you know what I mean? We both is California respected rap MCs, and you know, even 40, man, and just everybody, you know, just how far Mac Dre, the Mac, may rest in peace, what you call it, you know, cats like that who influenced me. It's just, you know, man, you know, me and San Quinn, like I say, San Quinn, another cat, my city cat, you know, like, man, all the cats out here, you know, we grew up together. You know, these is friends that I had for 20-something years. You know what I mean? We all just grew up, had families. We done seen our kids grow up together. And, you know, it's just, it's a real dope community out here, man, especially, you know, my family and, You know, I consider all my people out here family. You feel me? For real.
You all seem to have a legacy that is pretty much identical to what it is in Queensbridge out in New York. You know, shout out to the QB.
Yeah, Hulk. Yeah. I never heard that. I never heard that. That's good. That's a good, because I never heard it like that. But, yeah, man, you know, with cats just being so close to each other, you feel me? So
yeah.
Close and you know, making their name. Queensbridge is a good example, you know what I mean? Because, like, even if you want to go back to Run DMC, to think what Queens did for hip-hop, Vallejo has done something similar, definitely.
Absolutely, and it still continues.
You know, and we all still getting money. Motherfuckers are still moving. It's a lot of cats from that class, not only from Vallejo, but in the Bay Area, that's still on the road, hitting these states, getting money. If I, you know, talking about the Spice Ones, talking about the RBLs, talking about the Selly Sales, talking about the Keek the Sneaks, talking about, you know what I mean, all these cats that, you know, Hieroglyphics, talking about all these cats, man, that started in 92, 93, you know what I mean? Not the SIBO in Sacramento, SIBO still on the road. All these cats are still to this day, you know, they made classic records and they still in the game doing their thing. You feel me? That's a blessing, you know what I mean? And it just goes to show, you know, that motherfuckers really got talent, you know what I mean?
Now, you all, Matt, were coming along. You came out at a time pretty much where that West Coast, where that Bay Area, I don't want to say necessarily renaissance, but by the same token, this is kind of when it really started to come, you know, really heavy. You know, of course, you know, E had never, you know, Too Short had already established himself, of course, Mac Dre, E-40. So we're looking at the second generation now, of course, with Hieroglyphics, shout out to AP, you know, OPO, A+, Ty J, you know, Dill, I mean, the whole crew. I mean, you know, we're looking later on, you know, with Rap and Forte, you know, San Quentin and Filthy Rich come later down the line, but you're part of that next generation of MCs. What was it like really seeing everybody in the town, you know, really beginning to, you know, where you all were regional, but now all of a sudden with everything you've done, you all are like really going national with it. Like, when did you realize, like, yo, like, you're really famous doing this?
Man, you know, it was just like, you know what I mean? For me, you know, everything, like, for me, a lot of shit changed after Tupac did the video. You feel me?
And tell us about when that Tupac, story. Yes, so Ghetto Theme.
When
tell
Tupac
did
Ghetto Theme, well, I talk about this in my book, My Opinion. I saw Tupac at a Practice Looking Hard video. You feel me? At the time,
right.
You know what I mean? I'm new to my, you know, I'm newly coming out, you know what I mean? We still building the Mac Mall brand. But you know, I saw a white limo pull up to the video. Now the whole video, I came to the video with my cousin Shonda. You might hear E-40 mention her. Baby got her hair done by Shonda. That's my cousin. We all cousins. Shonda was on the road with Sugar T, so she knew about the video. She asked me if I wanted to come. I was like, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just gonna chill and just watch it and, you know, peep it, right? So, so I go to the video and I'm just playing the back. And I see this white limo pull up and Tupac hopped out with like Mike Cooley, Man, Big Stretch, Country, Big Psych. You know what I mean? He got the whole crew. So, you know, I wait my turn to introduce myself to him. You know what I mean? And you know, like the way I got this from Iceberg Slim, man. The way you cut into a person is very, very important, because If you come off as a goofy, then, you know, you're going to be a goofy forever. So, you know, and it's like, I wasn't, you know, too big-headed to think that, you know, that he supposed to know me or something. So I had no problem with running down my pedigree when I cut in two dude, right? So I wait my turn, go up to him, man, introduce myself, man. What's happening, man? My name Mac Maul, man. I'm a rapper from Vallejo. I got a new record out right now called Illegal Business, bro. And I'm just, you know, going into my spiel. And, you know, dude, he stopped me, and in only the way that Tupac can be, very excited. He's like, man, what? Man, you Mac Maul? Man, I'm listening to you in the limo right now. And he started naming my songs and all this shit, and I'm just, man, just blew away, because I'm like, man, one of the biggest rappers in the world know who I am. And I'm a super Tupac fan, you feel me? Because, you know, my birthday the 14th, his birthday the 16th. So, you know what I mean? The way that he, you know, thought and stuff like that, you know, not having the father or having, you know, not, you know, being with his biological father, I was going through the same thing. So just a lot of that angst that he had in him, I had in me. So I thought, you know, we saw the world alike. I mean, we saw the world the same, you know what I mean? And to meet him and, you know, from that day, I told him that my manager was Layla Steinberg. And he was just like, man, what? Man, Layla was my manager. You feel me? So we had that connection. And from that day on, man, dude just put me under his wing, man. And he said he wanted to do something with me. I thought he was just kind of, you know, let's do lunch and me. But Tupac was genuine and loving, and he saw something in me, man. He put me under his wing. You feel me? And next thing I know, he flew back to Vallejo, and, you know, we had a meeting, and we decided on Ghetto Theme. And he basically said, I'm going to do the video for free. Just come to L.A. I'm going to get a crew. I'm going to do it for cost. And, man, it was like that. I brought my people, my family out there, man, and we made a classic, you know, that touched the whole hip-hop. I did the Apollo. I did the Apollo, and I was nervous going to Harlem, you know what I mean? We rode the subway to Harlem and shit, and I'm nervous on there, like, man, I'm going to do the Apollo. All I really know about the Apollo is what I see on TV. They, you know, this audience is hard, you feel me? So I'm like, damn, you know, how I'm going to do it? But when I got backstage, as soon as we came into the backstage to check in, the security at the Apollo was like, hey, bruh, I love that Tupac video. And that kind of just put me at ease, like, man, okay, all right, yeah, okay, I can do it. And I end up, man, going on stage and rocking that motherfucker.
Now, when I first heard Ghetto Theme, because that was actually, I actually heard that before I actually listened to the album. So that was the first video I had saw from you. And right. It was just, I mean, the heart behind it, the sincerity, you really spoke to the plight of what goes on in the hood. Mind you, once again, to our listeners, this dude is like 15, 16 years old, and he's writing this. I mean, he wrote this. So this is like, for you to have that pulse on, you know, ghetto life at that time, especially having an understanding of what goes on in the hood, man. For those who really don't know about the Bay Area, because one thing about it, me, you know, my brother King, we always have a joke. We have three jokes that we always use, but we always are serious with utmost respect. We talk about the old New York in terms of how gully it was, and then we say in terms of beef, the Bay and the South beef different. We tell niggas, those are two places you really don't want smoke with. Ever.
man, yeah, it's different. It's different out here, you know what I mean? One thing about the Bay, you know, that people got to peep is that, you know what I mean, we are very, you know, we had, you know, some of the biggest pimps out here, hustlers, gangsters, but we also had the Black Panthers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And both of those extremes coexisted in the Bay Area, you feel me? And it's still like that to this day, you feel me? It's still like that to this day. It's you know, it's a lot of cultures out here. It's a lot of game, you know. It's a lot of intermingling, you feel me? It's a lot of vibes, you know. It's different from L.A. because it's like there's no industry out here. We got to make our own industry. And that being independent, you know, that independent mind state, you know, from back to the D-Boys, you know, that the way the D-Boys moved and stuff, that,
Felix,
you know,
Mitchell,
a lot of us,
all them, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of us have that in us, you know, that independent thing, you feel me? And we put that in the music, and we made our own industry, you feel me? And it was just like, you know, we would be going to L.A. and New York and trying to, you know, get on, and cats wasn't rocking, so we had to make our own, and we always been about that. It's kind of like the Raider attitude, you feel me? How Raiders is, how the Raider fans is, you know what I mean? That's kind of like the Bay Area attitude, you know what I mean? We don't care if y'all don't like us, You know what I mean? We're going to do our thing at a high level, and you're going to have to respect us and accept us because you can't check us. You feel me?
You know you're talking to two diehard Raider fans on this.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know what I mean?
We're not capping. We really are diehard Raider fans. I have the book out here.
Well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about as far as the attitude. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know, it's us against everybody. You know what I mean? Straight up.
Yeah, Nation. You know, we the first with the Nation in terms of how we define Raider Nation. I mean, for those who know the history of the Raiders, you know, we were always considered the outcasts, the bad boys. Nobody understood us, the misfits. But guess what? We were that motorcycle gang with the hell on wheels that you ain't want no smoke with because we was going to run you
straight
down.
Up.
You know what I mean? Shit. Straight shout up. Out to the legends, of course. You know, rest in peace, John Madden, of course. You know, Ted Hendricks, Jim Otto, Jack Tatum, Marcus Allen. Shit, Dave Casper, newly minted Hall of Famer, Cliff Branch, which is long overdue, Ray Guy, you know, so many, Kenny Stabler, you know, Jim Plunkett, Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber, Bo Jackson, what his career could have been had he not got hurt in that 91 playoff game against Cincinnati. Jerry Rice, because he was part of us for a minute, but of course, can't forget about, you know, Tim Brown. I mean, our history is long and distinguished. Vince Evans.
So we
got to talk about the whole situation with Young Black Brother Records, because of course we'd be remiss doing this show without mentioning, you know, with such respect, you know, Ray Love, and of course, Young Lay. And of course,
yeah, shout
you know,
out to the brothers, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
shout out
man.
To the brothers. You know, me and Ray Love, you know, even to this day, Ray Love is kind of got, you know, behind the scenes, you feel me? Because he, you know, he's a hell of a businessman doing a lot of dope stuff with the Mac Dre, estate. Shout out to Mac Wanda. You know, Ray is actually role managing for Earl Sweatshirt right now. You know what I mean? He all over the United States. You know what I mean? Y'all can follow him on Instagram, The Real Ray Love, and you can see that boy is traveling all over, you know, with one of the biggest, you know, rappers in the game right now doing his thing. But he also, you know, he also closed a lot of deals for me and stuff like that. We still in motion, you know what I mean? He actually, you know, got my NFT business, you know what I mean, straight for me. Shout out to him. Young Lay, you know what I mean? Young Lay, you know, had a you know, some legal trouble, but he's back, you know, on his thing. I'm trying to get him to come back on the road. You know, he just lost his brother, Dutta, man, so, you know, he's been dealing with his family and kind of, you know, just not really dealing with music. But, you know, I'm trying to convince him to come back on the road because, it's like, you know, I do all about my Fetty on stage, and the crowd goes nuts. So I know that they'll want to definitely see him. Shout out to him, though. You feel me? But,
man,
yeah, for me and Ray Love, man, we still busting moves and busting plays and getting money, man, to this day. That's my brother.
Dude, I remember when I saw that video last night. I love the song. I love the girl that was singing it more.
Shout out Stephanie, man. Shout out Stephanie, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She actually was a big fashion. I'm doing some designing and stuff in New York and everything, man. But shout out to her. You feel me?
Yeah, man. So I mean, so you know, and of course, for those that don't know about, you know, Young Lay, he had that dope ass joint off New Jersey Drive, All About My Fetty. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
That was
no
like,
doubt. That,
cool.
that was from Young Lay's records. You know what I mean? All About My Fetty, you know, was seen in the New Jersey Drive music. That was something that we still cashing checks from. You feel me? We still getting All About My Fetty checks. And it was something that really connected us with the East Coast. You feel me? Because that whole, the soundtrack went gold. You feel me? And it was like one of our first soundtracks, too. You know what I mean? I remember during the video, the boy... The 49ers was in the Super Bowl, and the boy Ray Love had, like, Ricky Waters and, you know what I mean, a couple of the 49ers come through and be in the video, so that was even more special. It was tight.
Man, when you look at this era of hip-hop and what it was now, because like you said, Matt, this era, 37. I'm 44. We really just, and we're children of the culture. Your music, everything y'all did in the Bay collectively influenced us. You know, we're not only journalists in this, we're legitimate fans because we respect so much. And it takes us back to a time when it was all so simple with a video music box, MTV Raps, Rap City, because this was our exposure to what was going on out there with y'all. So we really, really, really can appreciate and really, really enjoy what you all gave us. We got to thank y'all for what you blessed us with out there. And I think a lot of times with some artists, not all today, but a lot of them don't really understand how good they have it in terms of what it is like to get a video crew together, you know, getting your song out, because there was no social media back in, you know, 30 years ago. You know, it was like you really had to hustle with the muscle, you know, and tussle, you know, to get heard. You know, and now you can just record a song, you know, yeah, and just get it out on YouTube, you know, put it on SoundCloud. What did you all find about what it was like really, you know, pressing up the tapes? Because Uncle Short out there was the one that really, really laid down, you know,
yeah,
foundation.
75 girls,
turf.
75 girls,
yeah.
Trying to let people know that we can do it. And in Vallejo, it was you know, the Mac, may he rest in peace, he was the first cat that really let me know that I can capture my dreams. You know what I mean? He was like, you know, he was like my Run DMC. You know what I mean? Seeing him with his posters, and I remember him coming to my junior high school and giving me a poster and giving me a ride home in his Cadillac, and that shit just changed my life because it was like, oh, we can do this. You feel me? We can actually do this. So, you know, just that was important. Well, now it's way more easier, like you said. You feel me? All you got to do is just, you know what I mean, have a computer. You know what I mean? We used to have to spend so much money for videos, so much money to record, and now all these things, you know what I mean? Even to get into a studio was such a big deal. You feel me? It was so expensive, and it was so slow, but we was just so happy to get it. But now, you know what I mean, cats is making hits from their room. You feel me? From their mama room, cats is making hits and changing their life. You feel me? You can, like how we had to really get out there, man, and shake a hand and meet a friend. We had to go to these neighborhoods. Right now, you just load it, and it can go, you know, all over the world. You feel me? It can go all over the world just like that. You know what I mean? I think, you know what I mean, you know, with everybody actually thinking that they can do music and you not really having to have much talent to get a vibe, you know, it's more disposable, though. You feel me? Music is more disposable. It's like here today, gone tomorrow. You know what I mean? I can't sit here and say that, you know, a lot of the new artists are going to, you know, have, you know, 20-year careers, 30-year careers, you know what I mean, just because of the climate. You know what I mean? Everything moves so fast now. You feel me? We have to wait for records. We have to wait for new videos, you know what I mean? Cut school and go get it. But now it's just like, you know what I mean? I don't even have to go to the record store. A lot of these kids will never touch an actual record. A lot of these kids will only receive music through their phones. You feel me? So even that is different, you know what I mean? The way that we ingest the music is different, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's more disposable, but it's just like, you know, there's no more, like, really the rules that the record companies put on us don't really, you know what I mean nothing no more. You feel me? If I want to drop a record tomorrow, I can drop it out tomorrow. You feel me? I don't need no rollout. I can just do my thing, you feel me? And, you know, it's good things and it's bad things with that, but, you know, I think it's more accessible for the people. You feel me?
The accessibility of it, Matt, the accessibility of it is one thing, because when we look at it from our era of music, how it was consumed, how it was marketed, it was totally different. Because one thing about it is, even being a fan of Source Magazine, even through all the bullshit that went down, those that know, you know, one thing about it is that this is why this is a testament to your legacy of legendary, because the fact is that once it really marinate like a good steak, you know what, that fish when you about to get up in the dish, for those that catch what I'm saying, you know, with it, you know, it still stands up after all these years. You know, a magazine, a publication does not dictate the dopeness of it. The people do. You know, music
is
subjective.
Yes,
and it's all about how it touches the audience that hears it. Shout out to Uncle Richie Rich. We had him on the show twice. And what you talked about how hard it was to get studio time, this, that, and the other. Uncle Rich, you know, because one thing about it is the Bay Area is just a special place. The hustle, one of my homegirls, you know, a good friend of mine out in L.A., and she spent time out there. She said there just ain't no hustle like the Bay in terms of how y'all do it. And that is how y'all reputation is predicated on, moving proper, staying solid and firm. And Uncle Rich was like, you know, when you putting out music, you up in the town. And they were like, oh, geez, ain't letting you up in the studio until they know you right. You know,
for real, because you got to trip. A lot of them, you know, they had the money. You know what I mean? Almost every rapper, you know what I mean, out here, you know, had to. You know, we didn't have the companies that it wasn't like this, so we didn't have we couldn't afford to go into the studios. So you had to have a big homie who had a bag. You feel me? Because he had to believe in you, and then, you know, he'd throw you a couple of dollars to get you up in there, you know what I mean? But, you know, like Rich said, you had to be dope. You had to be dope, and you had to be tried. Then he'd trust you and be like, okay, I'll throw a little something here, get you in the lab. But, you know, we didn't have money like that. We had talent, but cats didn't have money, and the studios back then cost it, you feel me? Even the 4-track ones, but then we had the 16, you know what I mean, and the 2-inch reel. If you dealing with a 2-inch reel, you dealing with paper, you feel me? Videos, man, you had to get a motherfucking crew. You had to get a crew, not a motherfucker with one camera. You had to get a 10-person crew. You had to, you know what I mean? It was just way more expensive. So we had to have that connection with the cats with the bag so we can get up in there, because by ourselves we couldn't. And a lot of us, you know, in our communities, there was no doctors, lawyers, cats that could invest in us. The only cats we had was the local neighborhood, you know, D-boy. You feel me? The local baller, you know what I mean, from your section, he would hear you, he would believe in it, and he'd be like, you know what, I got you, little homie. I'm gonna get you up in there. You know what I mean? A lot of cats wasn't even thinking about starting labels or doing nothing. They just wanted to put their partner on. You feel me? I'm going to put my partner on. I believe any man, and I got it. Here you go. And a lot of us, majority of us MCs depended on that. You feel me? We depended on that. You feel me? For real.
I mean, and when y'all look at it, man, I mean, when you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? You hit it home with that, man, because you had to pretty much have a production crew, man. I'm talking, you had to move like Spike Lee in them hoods. Like, you had to get the
cameraman.
You had to get the editor.
Come on, man. It was different, man. You know, before all this stuff went digital, man, it was real. You feel me? It was real, man. It was way, way different. Now these kids, man, you know what I mean? They can just do it on, you can do everything on one computer. I can produce, I can have a studio in my computer, and I can have an editing in my motherfucking computer. If I really want, if my editing is good, I can do this. I don't even need no fucking camera. I can get an app on my phone and I fucking do this, and I can edit this shit all right here, man, have this shit out the next day. You know what I mean? I'm glad that I'm able to still do this in this time. But, you know, when I started, I know the difference. You know what I mean? I know what we had to go through just to do this thing. You feel me? And, you know, I definitely appreciate it now. A lot of the stuff ain't as warm as, you know, it used to be when I guess we was analog before it went digital. You know what I mean? But I do appreciate the speed of everything. You know what I mean? The speed I appreciate. You feel me? Because I remember when it wasn't like that.
You know, one thing,
that
too, man, we got to get
that editing.
Yeah.
That edit, yeah. The tedious part along with that editing, because, man, it's like shooting it was the fun part, but that editing, I mean, standing in that dark room and making sure all the letters and the spelling, making sure the scenes are matching together. Like, Jesus Christ, man. And like, you were sitting there almost a whole week.
A motherfucker, but then you had to hire a professional. You wasn't doing it yourself. You had to go
to a
company and find somebody who went to school for this shit, and then they do it. But now, man, all you got to do, man, it's a YouTube video that'll teach you any fucking thing. You feel me? Like motherfuckers got it good today. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers got it good today. You know, on every aspect, it's easy for you as an artist to, you know, and any kind of artist, it's easy for you to produce art now with just everything at your fingertips. You know what I mean? And I appreciate that.
Man, look, you know, when we got, you know, when we talk about this too, y'all, we got to give a shout out to some of the guys back in the day who were really doing it. I mean, guys like Studio Ton, Mike Mosley. I mean, we got to shout out One Little Indian Studios. We got to shout out Tom Coyne and Sterling Sales. I mean, we got to shout out K. Lou. I mean, we really got to, I mean, people that were really, like, instrumental in a lot of the stuff going on out there, you know.
Man, Mike Mosley, you know, Mike Mosley, when I got with him, where it worked on Untouchable, you know what I mean, that one of the new producers who just came from Alabama, and he came to Vallejo, and he was working with Mike Mosley, that was Rick Rock. And Rick Rock would go on.
Of the Federation,
of the Federation. He would go on to produce for Busta Rhymes and everything. But his first actual beat that he had on record was on my record, Untouchable, for real.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rick Rock.
So after Illegal Business, like, really takes off, I mean, what is that like for you in terms of, like, you're a star now? I mean, what's it like in terms of doing the touring? I mean, and then the setup for the second album?
It was just, you know, man, a life-changing experience, of course. You know, I had to grow up real fast. You feel me? I was already running the street and stuff like that, into a lot of, you know, the rah-rah shit. But, you know, I had to, you know, it changed the way, you know, that I looked at myself and the way that everybody looked at me. And I had to grow up fast because I had to be responsible for a lot of stuff. I had, you know, the plight of my family, the way the community, you know, took it in, because I went from, like, you know, a little dusty kid to the man, you feel me? And I came out with a lot of cats that was older than me. Matter of fact, everybody was older than me. So it was like, you know, I had to just be mature quick, and I had to get down and, you know, take advantage of it. Did I make every right choice? Nah, I made some mistakes, but, you know what I mean? I handled it. You know, I stood on my business, and I handled it. You know, cats had to respect me, and I moved accordingly. You know, so it was beautiful, man, you know, because it was just like, you know, man, I took advantage of all that shit, and I went in, you know, head first, man, and just got down, you know what I mean? And then it was like from there, you know, we got the look from Relativity. They wanted to sign me. A lot of labels wanted to sign me, and I wanted to be independent. I wanted to do my own thing. And that's when, you know, shit, I packed up and went to New York, and, man, and got paid. Got one of the greatest deals in hip-hop, fucking Relativity, and worked on Untouchable. You know, people thought that I couldn't do it again, you know what I mean? But this time, you know, not, you know, I wanted to control, you know, my record. So, you know, I got with Kyrie again. I got with Mike Mosley and let him do, you know, because I'm a fan of Mike Mosley at the time. I'm listening to Sebo. I'm listening to stuff he's doing. I wanted to get with him and work with everybody, and that's what I did. I worked with all the people I looked up to. Hutch, 187, you know what I mean, from Above the Law.
Shout out to Uncle Hutch.
Angers,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I just did my thing. And, you know, and even now, when it's considered a classic, you feel me? So, you know what I mean? I stayed on my shit, you feel me? Improved the wrong, proved me I could do it again, you know?
Yeah, man, that cover was wild, man. I was like, man, this man got an alligator on a leash.
Yeah, an actual alligator. I talk about this in my book, My Opinion, too. I went to Tiburon, Louisiana, to a gator farm. Shout out to my man, Wild Bill. Went out there and took a picture with a gator. Shout out to Layla Steinberg, because, you know, I had decided that I was going to name the record Untouchable. I decided I was going to name the record Untouchable, and then I with Ray Love, we smoked weed one day, and we just started thinking of all the things that was untouchable. Man, what's untouchable? A snake, a this or that. And then we came out with an alligator, and I was like, man, what if I had an alligator on the leash like a pit? Boom, boom, boom. And he said, man, word, you know, that sounds dope. Let's do it. I called Layla, and man, you know, she heard my crazy idea and didn't think that I was too crazy and hooked it up, and we did it. You feel me? I seen a Beyonce record cover where she had a chain on a gator on a chain, and I was like, man, I know that her art director or somebody seen that. That's one of the most iconic hip hop record covers ever. You feel me?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody, and it was real. It was a real motherfucking gator, definitely.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing about gators. Those things, for people that have never seen a real alligator, those things are fast. I tell anybody.
Very
those
fast.
Things sit,
very fast.
But when they move, that's like, nigga, 223 done hit you with a full automatic. From a full automatic, them things go.
I got a video of the motherfucking alligator trying to knock me over, and I got so scared that I ran, but I still was holding, and I was just so annoyed, and I had to drop him. I had to tell my hands to let him go. He was crazy.
Yeah, but those things, alligators ain't nothing nice. Some things move quick, and you're going to lose something. If they get them jaws on you, you're going to lose something. Now you're two for two with this. What are you, and all the process of this, Mac, what are you learning about the business in terms of how it's conducted, making sure your paper's proper, promotions, just touring, and just in terms of just, you know, the money factor most. King and myself, you know, we've done it. We're blessed to do this. We talk with so many people. And one thing we always talk about are the financial aspects, because we see a lot of new artists coming in. Shout out to Uncle Meth when he said last year they were interviewing him, because he's like, where are all a lot of these new rappers getting this money from? And then we see a lot of these dudes, you know, Lil Uzi Vert, you know, Young Thug, you know, whomever, and it's like, okay, y'all may got something that's lit, but it's like, y'all might even have some money, but I'm like, are y'all saving y'all money in terms of all this shit y'all buying? I mean...
Yeah, it's a crazy time. I mean, you know, I can't front, you feel me? I done been young with a fat check, and I wild out too, you know what I mean? I wild out too, but it's something you learn through time, you know what I mean? And the thing that I would be more concerned about is, like, is cats really up on ownership? You feel me?
Because, like
you say, as on that second record, now I'm responsible for everything. I got the money. I'm doing it now. I'm not on the label. And I'm seeing that, okay, I'm seeing that, you know, how that it was messed up for me. I didn't really fit into the major label thing, but, you know, through that experience, I was able to, you know, actually become an owner. You know what I mean? I fell out with Relativity because, you know, we saw different visions, and I wanted to do a different thing. I beefed with the with a couple of cats from there, and they basically tried to shelf me and wouldn't allow me to do music. So I had a hiatus, like a 2-year hiatus, where I'm going to court with these cats. You feel me? And I knew that, you know what I mean? These, you know, the major labels to me, man, they was kind of like dummies with money, man. They got money, but they're not really artists. They look at what we do as units and not, you know, as not like our blood, sweat, and tears. So, you know, we have, you know, fallouts on just the creative, you know, the way that we was going. And I knew that, man, I know how to do this by myself. You feel me? So, you know, after going to court, I was able to, you know, finagle some stuff. And that's when I got back with Kyrie. We did Illegal Business 2000. And we had the song Wide Open from there. And that's, like I say, one of my biggest songs. And from that point, that's when I really, you know, was able to negotiate for Illegal Business. And I got Untouchable back, you know what I mean? And then, you know, after Illegal Business 2000, that's when I owned everything. So that's when I came with Immaculate and Mac Speaks Louder Than Words and just every record after that. You know what I mean? Because now it's just like I own all this. You feel me? This is mine. I'm in control. So now, you know, everything count even more. You feel me? And that's, man, that's just what I've been on ever since. You feel me?
When we look at entrepreneurship in the game, and I'm going to keep bigging up my brother's piece that he did about Prince and just how, because everybody knows about how Prince went through his ownership issues with Warner Brothers, you know, and how Prince had to fight with that for all those years until he finally got it. Yeah. I mean, he, you know, this is a, you know, Prince Rogers Nelson, rest in peace, the Purple One. I mean, he literally could not use his name on records because Warner Brothers owned his name.
And we didn't really trip off of it at the time. We didn't trip off of it like that. We just thought, like, oh, he tripped, slave on his face. We didn't really, I mean, I know me, I didn't. I know, you know, when he was really doing that, I didn't really all the way understand. But I understand when I went through it, because you are like that. You know what I mean? And imagine what kind of hell that is for a creative person, bro. You cannot create. You cannot feed yourself from your creativity. You know, they will not. If I did a song with somebody else, they would put a cease and desist on them. You know what I mean? That's be the reason that, man, a lot of people go crazy. A lot of people turn to drugs. A lot of people, you know, just don't want to deal with the industry no more because, man, if, for them, they don't care about love. They want what's hot. They don't care about all that. You don't mean that. They acting like, you know what I mean, that they rocking with you. But if they have a vision for you and they want you to do certain things, it's just like they don't really care about that. And for us, it's everything. You know what I mean? It's everything, man. Our music is everything. Our art is everything. And, you know, it's very depressing, man. It's very depressing. For me, you know what I mean, man, you know, I got into all type of shit. You feel me? I'm in Vegas. You know what I mean? I'm fucking with the Beezys. You feel me? I'm putting my game down, you know, on the other shit. You feel me? As I'm going to court, you know what I mean? I kind of almost could have got off my path. You feel me? I could have got off my path and been, you know, man, somewhere, you know what I mean? Trying to put a broad down, you feel me? But, you know, I was able to get back on my path. But, you know, because of that, I understand why cats go through. Because it was a very stressful time for me, you know, a very stressful time. I definitely could have got off my path, you feel me? But I understand, you know, the motherfuckers love their music. And, the record companies ain't really like built like that. It's all about the bottom line for them. You know what I mean? Straight up. It's not about creativity or, you know, making something new or making something, you know, great. It's about a number. You feel me?
It is.
So, you know, yeah, man. You know what I mean? Shit crazy.
And it's wild, man, because King knows what I'm talking about, what I'm about to say, because we talked about this off air. We're not going to mention it on air in terms of the people involved, but King knows who I'm talking about, what I'm about to say, because there's two very famous, well-known rappers out there who had a falling out over some business. The people, you know, people listening kind of know where I'm going without saying the names, but there was a very public dispute about somebody's manager stealing some money from them. And essentially, but this artist has a label under this artist's imprint, and because of that falling out, that is rumored why this artist cannot put out any albums, because he's under him.
Yeah.
And basically, yeah, you know, and we'll talk to you off the air about that. We can mention to you off air who that is, and you probably know him.
Man, I dig it, bro. I dig it. I know that shit, man. The shit, you know, man, you know, we always talk about, like, one-hit wonders and shit like that.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Man, a lot of these people had that one hit and saw what the industry do and didn't want to fuck with it no more. You feel me? Because, man, when you do your art, you do something beautiful, and you hand it off to this person, and they look at it as just a unit. A unit could be anything, a screw, a potato, a what you call it. Art is not like that, man. Art is something that, you know what I mean, you give up some of yourself, man. And every artist does with every piece they do, whether if it's a record, whether if it's a movie, you give up some of yourself to that. So to see somebody just mishandle that, don't appreciate it, don't really appreciate you, you know, for us, man, we sensitive, you know what I mean? That can affect a person, you know what I mean? So a lot of them people, them one-hit wonders, they came out with that hit. They saw the industry, and they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do it no more. And we thought that they just faded away, but it was just like, man, they saw something ugly about this shit and got smart, said, hey, man, I'd rather dig ditches. You know what I mean?
Now, we want to ask you about this for clarity, Mac, because this is the perfect segue into the story of one of my all-time favorite rappers, rest in peace, MF Doom, formerly known as Zev Love X of KMD. They were on Relatively, I believe, at the time of when they were trying to release Black Bastards back in 1993, and because of the Sambo character, that's when that whole drama went down with them. And
yeah, I'm a big fan of them dudes too. I remember what you talking about.
Yeah, and of course Sub Rock, rest in peace, he was hit by a car and died, and then of course, you know, Zev Love X went into a deep depression about it. But basically years later, he reinvented himself in one of the greatest second acts of hip hop ever, MF Doom. And he basically took on a moniker of Dr. Doom from the Marvel comics that basically is a affront to how he said the industry scarred him, and that's why he wore the mask. And somewhere along the line...
Yeah, I'm a big fan of FM Doom. I'm a big fan.
Man,
I mean, I thought,
the way he broke it down, man, it was like very... scientific, and it has a meaning to it. That's what I miss about the game today, because, you know, even when you see guys, they have a very analytical, creative name, you can tell it's something special there. Like, you can sit back and be like, damn, it must be something special about this guy.
Yeah.
But there you got guys that just name themselves like Little Buns or Little Hot Dog. Or
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think cats really thinking about names, this, you know what I mean, this much, but, you know, it's a lot of littles. I don't know, man. We just wanted to be fresh, man. Everybody wanted to be fresh, and everybody, you know what I mean, wanted to, you know what I mean, have a name, have an image, a different image that was different. And, you know, now everybody looks the same. Everybody sound the same. You can listen to the radio, and you would think you're listening to one long song. You feel me? And that's, it's good. It's good for the club and shit like that, but... You know, for me, it's just like I want to hear a motherfucker bust. I want to hear a dope beat. I want to feel where you're from. I want to know about you. I want to learn about you. I want to know, like, how y'all giving it up in your community. You know what I mean? I want to know more than just a lot of the surface shit that motherfuckers come with. You know what I mean? I'm high. You know what I mean? I want to know more about the people who I'm listening to. You feel me?
How do you feel about where hip-hop is today? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, you know, and build off to this question, he said, it's like making movies, man. Like, we got to stand out for the next one.
I like deep books. I like complex characters, you know what I mean? I like just, you know, like how you talk about MF Doom, you know what I mean? I grew up on comic books, you feel me? So, you know, just the way that MF Doom had the different, you know, alter egos and stuff like that. You know, that was dope to me. And just, you know, with the rappers that we rocked with back in the day, you know, you had to go get that record cover. You had to – the record cover was so important because it told a story within itself. You would flip it over and you would look at the names of the song. They told a story. You feel me? A lot of the titles, you know, Kyrie taught me about that, how the titles of the song was important, because before I even hear the music, I'm looking at the titles and I'm thinking, okay, would I want to listen to a song called this? And, you know, so we had to come with dope titles, and then the music had to come with that. And it's like – you know, we didn't know if this was going to be our last record. So them first records, man, I got to tell you so much shit. I got to tell you everything. You got to get my vibe. I got to represent. You know what I mean?
I mean, we listen to a lot of the records from back in the day. I mean, you know, of course, Nas's, you know, Illmatic, Tupac's Tupacalypse Now, which I have a beef with some of these so-called Pac fans because they can't name that record in terms of his first album. And I'm like, there's a little bit more outside of Me Against the World and All Eyes on Me. You know, I'm like, because I absolutely love Tupacalypse Now when it dropped. When you listen to Cam's Never Again, when you listen to Deadly Threat, Stick in the Head, when you listen to Bosses, Born Gangsters, you know, Black Sheep, to Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, you know, Souls of Mischief, 93 to Infinity. I mean, you know, I mean, these are just albums that are just staples of any real hip-hop collection. You were part of this time in the golden era of what's considered the second golden era of hip-hop, Matt. Where do you see hip-hop right now from where you all were doing it in reference to how it's marketed and where it's seemingly, you know, just become a fad now more than it is a real culture of, you know, expression?
I mean, I'm happy because, like I say, it's easier. You know what I mean? Hip-hop has grown so much, you know what I mean, that everybody does it. So we get a chance to hear, you know, we get to hear, you know, everybody's voice through hip-hop, you know what I mean, from the white boys, from the Asians, from just Samoans to the Latin brothers to just everybody, you know what I mean? So that's dope. I think, though, but as, you know, it went from being, you know, kind of like a mom-and-pop type thing to a big corporation. And, you know, when you have a big corporation is not personal. You know what I mean? They not tripping off that. You know what I mean? They just trying to get money, and that's what it's become. But it's a lot more money, and it's a lot more opportunity. You know, it's at first, okay. You know what I mean? At first, it was growing, so we were trying to figure out the things that we can do. But now, you know, it's so many. It employs so many people. You know, we got hip hop fashion, we got hip hop movies, we got, you know, everything. So it's just like it's a lot of more opportunity for people. It's a lot more money, and we done grown up and went Hollywood. You know what I mean? And I dig it. You know what I mean? I think it's dope. But you know, I think, you know, in some senses it kind of got away from us. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, even though, you know, now we in them corporations and we, you know, we just did the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? That's big for hip hop. Like, that's big. We are accepted. We are the biggest genre of music. We're bigger than rock and roll. We're bigger than everything. You know what I mean? And you know, we are American culture now. You feel me? And that's beautiful, but, you know, some of it kind of got out of our hands, and, you know, it's getting away from us. You got different, different people involved, different, you know, even though we're hearing everybody's voices, you got some agendas that's being pushed, and, you know, in some senses, it's used as a weapon against us, you feel me? And that's bad, but I think that, you know, I can never just be mad at hip-hop, man, because, because of what it done for me, you feel me? And we got to, you know, rapping, you know what I mean, is the biggest form of it. But, you know, we got to get back to our roots and know that, you know what I mean, it's about the four elements and just, you know, putting it down. And, we got to remember where we came from in a sense, you feel me? And we got to make
you
it
know
important.
What?
We got to make being an MC important. We got to make having lyrics. We got to appreciate those who got a pen and who can bust and steal hard. You know what I mean? We got to appreciate the Kendrick Lamars and the Rhapsodies and the, you know what I mean? Just the cats who really busting, you feel me? And keeping it lit, you know, being MCs, you know what I mean? Straight up. Rapping,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Knowing how to rap should be important still. Being an MC still should be important. Now, you know, with it being so corporate and being a vibe, now it's just like, you know, you don't really have to have, you know, have talent to be a rapper. You feel me? And that's some shit that I don't really like.
Hmm.
Yeah, and definitely, man. And speaking of, you know, being that voice and, you know, being independent and not being able to be censored. One of my favorite records that you did was called Rebellion Against All There with Ray Love. That was a powerful record right there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that
you
was
know,
like
that,
the
that was
type
the record
of...
that I had, the Rebellion Against All There Is. You know, that record, you know, is one of my most political, just all the way political records. I wasn't going for no singles on there. It was a reaction record because it was just like the shit that was going on around me. I couldn't just make another booty song. I had to tell you what's going on, you know what I mean? Police was shooting, you know, a lot of my people killed my cousin, you know what I mean? It was just a lot going on. And it was like I couldn't make a happy record or think about, you know, the club because my people was literally dying in the streets. And that's what made me come with that record. That's what made me come with that video and just everything. The whole vibe of that was just going crazy. You know what I mean? My city was going broke. The police was shooting black people every month. It was just, you know, it was crazy. And I came with that record. Yeah.
And one thing about it, Matt, is, you know, the town, you know, from all over, you know, it's beautiful to see out there that everybody is still coming up. I mean, you got up-and-comers. Shout out to Cookie Money, man. I mean, young boy getting it out there. You know, Kamaya.
So shout out to Burner, too, man. Shout out to Burner.
Yeah, Burner.
Burner.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Burner doing his thing, you know what I mean? It's a lot of cats, man. You know what I mean? Cats is still pushing that line hard.
Yeah, he representing dope out there, man. You know, I know he's got a health, you know, he had his health issue going on. You know, we're sending prayers up to him to get well, you know. Shout out to Burner 415. I mean, of course, you got Kamaya, you know, Filthy Rich.
Yeah,
man,
you know,
Filthy.
Yeah, man, shout out to Seminary, 5900 block, man. I mean, you're a veteran in this now, Matt. How does it feel being, you know, pretty close to 34 years in this and seeing the young heads come up behind you and knowing, you know, especially from your area and just seeing how they're achieving and looking at you as inspiration, as motivation, as an influence, and just somebody that really, really, really is, you know, set the bar for what it is to represent.
I mean, I appreciate it. You feel me? I appreciate it. You know what I mean? I definitely, you know, respect, you know what I mean, where I'm at, you know what I mean? And I don't take it for granted, you know what I mean, to be in this because there's a lot of people that I saw come and go, you feel me, all these years. I appreciate that they appreciate, you know, my work and the things that I did, you know, in my space. You know, I try to, you know what I mean, to be an elder and to be somebody, you know what I mean, that gives advice, you know, if they want it. And, you know what I mean? And I stay, you know what I mean? I stay listening to, you know, the newest. I want to know that the new dope cat from out here. And, you know what I mean? I keep it playing with them, man. You know what I mean? Keep it playing. You know what I mean? Don't be no big me, little use. You know what I mean? I'm right there with them. You know what I mean? Creating opportunities for them and, you know, still pushing the line for the Bay. You feel me?
Yeah, man, and it's beautiful to see, you know, you being so, you know, one thing, you know, you said about being 46, which is great because we need more of the elders, and we have a lot right now still doing it, but people try to say, well, you know, at a certain age, you know, rap, you know, niggas need to stop rapping. I'm like, says who? You know, we've talked with many of guests on the show. The Rolling Stones can still tour, and they're damn near in their 80s. I mean, Whitesnake, you know, Motley Crue, you know, all these heavy metal rock bands, you know, they still tour. They still have fans. It's like, why are we the only ones who are going to try to put an age limit on the creative genius of people who have accumulated that knowledge and skill over their years of what they've contributed?
I think it's different. I think the difference is with that is that they would consider hip-hop to be more so youth-driven. So since you've driven, if you reach a certain age, they're ready to push you out. But we're in a stage now where a lot of the guys in their 30s and 40s, man, they killing the game, man. Just like Nas when he dropped the Magic album.
See the difference between us and, like, sports, you know, your body gonna tell you that you can't play, but you know what I mean? This is a brain-driven and a mouthpiece-driven thing, you know what I mean? And we have classy material, you feel me? Our audience grew up with us, you know what I mean? They passed us on to their children, you feel me? And it's like, you know, if there's still a demand, you know, you know, everybody should still get money. If there's still a demand for you, if you still can fill a room, if you still can, you know what I mean, can rock the microphone, you know, if your body allows you to, man, get that money. You feel me? Because cats still want to see a motherfucker. You feel me? Like, man, I stay booked throughout the year. You feel me? Throughout the year, I stay booked. You know, I know some cats supposed to be hot who don't leave their couch. You feel me? Mm. We stay busting moves and getting money, man, and hitting the road because it's still people still want to hear these songs. If you made a classic record, people still want to hear it. I don't care. It might be in Canada. It might be in Dubai. It might be in Spain. It might be in Germany. You know, cats still, if you did certain things, you made these classics, people still want to see you. And me, man, I'm an entertainer, man. I'm an artist, man. You know what I mean? The stage is where I feel most at home. You feel me? So, yeah, man, we going to rock. You know what I mean? And when you have classes, cats still want to hear them. You know what I mean? I still go see Run DMC. I still go see Slick Rick. Like, man, be in the front row going dumb. I love the Wu-Tang Clan. You know what I mean? If I can ever catch them all together, that's one of my dreams in hip-hop, to see a show. I mean, rest in peace, ODB, but just to have all of them on the stage together. You feel me? Like, come on, man. It's still... Cats still want to see him. Cats still want to see Nas. Cats still want to see E-40. You know what I mean? Like, man, cats, I just did a show with Spice One. And when we was in Houston, me, Spice, Yup, and Be Legit. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, it's still a demand. You feel me? And I feel blessed about that, and I appreciate it, too. You feel me?
We got to shout out Spice One, of course, and Yup Mouth. You know,
come on, man, come on, man.
And yeah, I mean, they were great to have on the show. I mean, two legends. I mean, when you look at guys like that, all of you have contributed to this culture so richly. And one thing about it is, and we want to get, you know, we got a little bit of time left. We want to ask you this question too, Matt, because one thing about it is the drama has always been as prevalent in hip hop as anything, because, you know, we've seen the streets of the violence of the streets, unfortunately, bleed into it as well. And it's taken a lot of lives. I know for what happened with the Jacka, rest in peace out there from Pittsburgh. And he was so,
man,
so
that's Jack, man. Rest in peace, Jack. Man. Rest in peace, Matt Dre. Rest in peace, man, all the brothers that we lost up in this. You know what I mean? I definitely take it personal. I done lost my cousin last year, Birdie. He was an up-and-coming MC. You feel me? You know, we just lost his brother, too. You know, my brother, his brother, my other little cousin, you know what I mean? Little Thieves, you know what I mean? They was brothers. One of them got, you know, shot in front of his grandmother and my auntie. The other one got shot in Oakland. You know, by a police, you feel me? Yeah, but that's a long story. But, you know, I definitely feel affected by each death, you know what I mean? Because we are like in a fraternity, you know what I mean? We hustle mm-hmm. together. We you know, it's like a brotherhood being in hip-hop. So I'm affected by Young Dolph, you feel me? I'm affected by, you know what I mean, just all this shit. Because it's like, you know, being an MC... it seems more dangerous now, because it's like, you know, that jealousy is big. You feel me? And cats don't, when you get hot, they hate on you. You know what I mean? First they love you, then they hate you. You feel me? But now, you know, that hate is turning deadly. You feel me? And it's just, you know, it's sad. You know, it's just like it happening back to back to back to back. And I'm affected by all of that. You know what I mean? I wish cats, you know, realize that, you know, hip-hop was made for us to get out the streets, you feel me, and to express ourselves and to take care of our families, you feel me? And, we was in the streets first, and then we got into hip-hop, you know what I mean? You shouldn't get into hip-hop and then get into the streets, but a lot of cats feel like, you know, in order to even be a rapper, you gotta have some street shit, you gotta have some bodies, and you gotta bring that with you. You gotta be all about the, you know, the funk, you know, because funk bring you clout, you know what I mean? And cats kill for clout. They literally kill for clout. So, you know, I hate that those things are tied into the game, because it's like, you know, it's just bad. It's a bad look. You feel me? And cats is going to jail forever, you know what I mean? Cats is dying, not even being able to enjoy, you know, their money. And we're not seeing, you know, greatness. You know what I mean? These people are dying so young. you know what I mean, you know, so large, so young, and these, you think that these people could have changed so many lives, you know what I mean, but we don't have them no more. They could have changed the plight of their family, their generations, but we don't have them no more. So, you know, it's sad. You feel me? It's sad. You know, the one thing about I read this one in the Donald Goins book, man, the thing about getting old, the bad thing about getting old is not getting old. You know what I mean? And a lot of these cats ain't getting old. You feel me? For real, for real.
And that's something coming from somebody because, you know, King and myself, we've had a lot of conversations on air about this and off air about it because we see a very – one thing about it is, you know, you're from the streets. You know, your folks are from the streets. So you all have a very, very deep understanding of how it is when shit goes bad out on the street. And
yes,
you all
sir.
Made a point, you know, when y'all, you know, got the money up, you got out of it. But what we're seeing now is with a lot of these young, you know, people coming in, it's like, and I'm going to go there. We're going to go there because we're elders. We love our children. We care for the future generations. We care about the generation now, but we got to go there. It's like some of these young people out here are inviting their own funeral with stuff they're getting out there on social media doing, whether they're making songs or they're talking about who they're going to blast their ops and what they're going to do. And I'm like, you do realize, you know, once you start habitually line stepping with certain people, you know, not everybody is going to just walk away from it. I'm like, you know, we've seen too many situations niggas get out there online talking about what they're going to do somebody, and guess what? It turned out it got done to them first. You know?
Yeah, a lot of cats don't respect life, man. You know what I mean? That's what it is. They don't care about life. You know what I mean? A lot of cats know that they're going to be on a T-shirt. So what they're trying to do is just ball as hard as they can ball because they know that they on their way up out of here. Feel me? And it's just like, you know, it's a respect for life thing. I'm telling you, man, I talk to the youngsters and the cat know, like, man, I'm on my way out in a bar. I'm going to have a gang of kids, you feel me? And I'm going to look fly on my Rest in Peace T-shirt. You feel me? Straight up.
How do we change that culture of thought?
I mean, man, you know, that's a loaded question. You know what I mean? Because, you know, can hip hop do that? You know what I mean? This is a bigger problem. It's got to do with education.
That's what I'm saying.
With finance. It's got to do with,
right,
you know, the black family. This got to do with, you know, the black man, the black woman, the family unit. You know what I mean? This
right,
got to do with
right,
a lot of things.
Right.
And all we do is music, bruh. You feel me? The music reflects what's going on in society. You know what I mean? And that and unfortunately, society is like this now. You feel me? Society is like this now, and the music reflects this. Hip-hop is the voice of the people. You feel me? The people is on this page. We are very shallow as a whole. We don't care about things. Everything is so quick. You know, everything is instant. You feel me? And man, it catches living a life instantly. You feel me? And, you know, so that's like, you know, there's better people to answer this question than a fucking rapper. You feel me? You know what I mean? I think, you know, like, man, everything starts at home, bro. Everything starts at home, man. You know what I mean?
And
for
that's
real. Because even more than I can be an influence on the youth, man, you are influenced by your parents. You feel me? Mm, you are influenced
true.
By your elders. You are influenced by your community. You know what I mean? They are bigger influences than any rapper. You feel me? You know, but, you know, these rappers now, you know, because of, you know, there's not a lot of family values and shit like that. These rappers is raising these motherfuckers, and you only getting one stupid side of the story, and they living their fucking life like that, like it's the gospel. You know what I mean? The shit is sad.
And I think, and you know, one thing about it, Mac, I don't think it's, you know, one thing about it is, but the perspective you have on it is so profound and philosophical because a lot of people want to blame hip-hop culture. I'm like, no, hip-hop culture has nothing to do with what is going on. I'm like, these are the circumstances of what has happened before the music is even recorded that has influenced the music. The music itself is, but... You know, conversely speaking, because we will never be against hip-hop. We don't like some of the stuff that's going on in terms of the messages because we think it's because it goes into what I'm about to say next, because I see the generational gap of what we came up with because we had a balance of listening to everything. So we weren't inundated with just one part of rap. We had party rap. We had hood rap. You know, we had R&B. We had pop. We listened to everything. So we had a wide range of interest. And what we're seeing now is that depending on who you talk to and how it is by design or not, when we listen, I mean, we don't have video shows anymore, which gave us a wide variety. The radio stations are corporately owned now. So we don't have independent owners where the DJs have the freedom to really break records. You know, it's all like the drill rap. You know, and I'm not saying this is a criticism, but it's like the worst elements of hip hop seem to be what is being put out there in abundance. And it's like some of these kids, they never listen to anything else but that. And I'll try to tell them like, yo, there is other hip hop you can listen to outside of that. I'm like, there, it is really dope if you really give it a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, like I said, man, they use this music, man, and you know what I mean? You know, with the corporations, it kind of got out of our hand, and now it's like they feeding it to us, and they feeding us what they want us to eat. You know what
exactly.
I mean? It ain't like we going into a store and we seeing, you know, it's different stuff here, it's stuff that I might like, you know, and I'm getting it all. You know what I mean? You think of the UMTV raps, you know what I mean? The rap cities and stuff, you know what I mean? And it'll just be, you know, so you getting East Coast, you getting West Coast, you getting conscious rap, you getting the NWA, you know what I mean? You getting all these things, but it's just like, you know, once Clear Channel get a hold of it, they, you know, they basically got us, and they want a certain thing. That's why all the songs sound alike. That's why we, you know, it's programming. Literally, it's programming. You feel me? It's
and
programming, and they pushing what they want
to
push. You feel me? Instead of it being ours, you know, we gave you all sides of it, but now it's like they're just telling one narrative. You feel me? And it happened to be that. You know what I mean? But if they wanted to, they can play anything. They can play a little bit of everybody if they wanted to. But it's just like, you know, they want to do what they want to do. You know what I mean? And this, and they're not, you know, going out looking out for our best interests. They looking out for, you know, what they want to sell straight up. And they selling sex and death.
And, you know, when we break it down further, Mac, King and myself, we've talked about this off air a lot. We're older. So our trajectory of how our musical education was growing up, King is an accomplished and published journalist. I'm a lifelong hip-hop nerd. I heard something years ago, and it still resonates true with me, that the real hip-hoppers are not listening to the radio. They're reading the blogs. They're on YouTube. They're reading magazines. You know, the people, because our musical education was so diverse growing up, we get excited if we hear about a new Nas project or a Jay project. I tell you one thing, in terms of the new wave, Griselda, I'm just the biggest Griselda fan out there. Yeah, I've said it on there many a time. Those guys out of Buffalo, them boys is just different. And the
they MCs. You know what I mean? They MCs,
yes.
and they got that flavor of the golden era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the way that they packaging it and getting it out there, it got the new look. But, you know what I mean? Them is MCs. Them is rappers right there. So I'm definitely very proud of their rise, you know what I mean, because they're true MCs. You know what I mean?
And
it's about time. It's about time that true MCs, you know what I mean, be recognized and celebrated.
And they're older, which I think brings a certain sensibility because, you know, these are not old niggas trying to rap. These are veterans who are dope because they've been rapping for years. It's just been like in the past 6-7 that they've really gotten their due. But it's like when you listen to their stuff years back, Conway, Benny, you know, Westside, you know, these guys are serious on the microphone. And you've seen the growth over the years in terms of what they've done. And, of course, Griselda Records being, you know, Westside's label, you know, it's like they have really found a following in terms of they have all become very wealthy in terms of the money they've made individually, you know, but they found an audience. As an artist, how important is it for you to find your audience and really stay true to that core base?
I mean, for me, it's everything. You know what I mean? It's the reason that I'm still on the road to this day. It's the reason that, you know, I'm able to be an author. It's the reason that, you know what I mean, that my merch is still selling to this day and that I'm, you know, Mac Ballers became a brand because of, you know, I have identified my core audience, you know what I mean? They trust the brand, they trust what we coming with, and they support. And it's everything, you know what I mean? And I really, really connected them when I became an owner of my music and my masters and stuff like that. You know, a lot of newer rappers, they don't, you know, they don't really have that connection because somebody else is actually doing everything and selling them. But, you know what I mean? Me, I stay on them. I talk to them every day when I'm on these social medias, and I connect with them because, you know, I'm an owner, so, you know, I have a very personal relationship with them because, hey, man, honestly, they keep my lights on. They keep, you know what I mean, me maintaining my lifestyle, you feel me? So, and I sell directly to them, you know what I mean? So it's very important, and I appreciate everybody who's been rocking with me all these years and, you know, and continue to rock with me. I mean, it's so important, and I definitely appreciate it because, you know, they know that when they support me, they are supporting me, not a corporation. And, you know, I mean, man, we a team. You feel me? For real.
One thing about it, Mac, because we have such a respect for the independence of it. This is King's brainchild right here. You know, this is his baby.
Yes, sir.
I'm so privileged. You know, our co-hosts, you know, who've been here have been so privileged to be a part of this. So we really, really respect it because we know what goes into it in terms of the hard work, owning something, and really reaching out and connecting with people. You know, King, from what he has built this with, this was something that he had a love to do. He just decided he was going to do it. And a funny thing happened. He found some people along the way who really believed in it as well, you know. So we all been moving since. So we know how it feels to connect with our audience in a real way as you do and have people who have helped us out so much, you know, over this time. Because you can't do it by yourself. And I think that's where some artists don't understand it, because you have to have a team. And not only because people will want to be a part of something at times because cosmetically it's great for the face, you know, it's just a placement for them where they feel they found a sweet spot, but there's no substance for what they're trying to be a part of. They just want to be along for the ride. But right. It's those that want to see you win,
mm-hmm.
that are going to help you win, who take an active role participating in ensuring victory. It's not enough to just be a spectator. You have to be in the gym, getting it, working out, really getting that regimen in. When you see a lot of artists coming out there, what is your advice to them, Mac, about getting in this game, what the sacrifices will be, and what it means to really, really, really have to make this your life?
I mean, with like any cats in the game, man, you know, I just say, you know, make sure that you love it, because love is going to keep you involved in it and keep you doing it when you know when you encounter adversity. You feel me? The way that you handle yourself in adversity determines your character. You feel me? So you really have to love, you know what I mean, hip hop, because you know you're gonna have adversity and it's gonna be shit that's not gonna go right, and the only thing that's gonna keep you in it doing it is your love. So make sure you love it. You know, don't let it go to your head. You feel me? Appreciate every day and appreciate every fan, because, you know, these are the people who, you know, that basically feed you. You feel me? And just stay true to it and be yourself. Make your own mistakes. You know what I mean? Don't let these record companies, you know, make you do things that you don't want to do, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to live with it, and it's going to be your legacy. You know what I mean? Straight up. And legacy is important. You know what I mean? So, you know, make sure you love it. Stay dedicated and stay true and be true to yourself.
And we got to shout out so many of y'all out there. I mean, we got to shout out, of course, Marshawn Lynch, you know, representing Oakland.
Yes,
you know, Beast Mode. We got to shout out Dame Dollar, Dame Lillard, I mean, representing the town, man. I mean, these are dudes that, you know, came from the hard side. You know, Dame only had, you know, one scholarship offer coming out of high school. You know, Marshawn, you know,
Both of these dudes is true to themselves, and they're individuals, you know what I mean? And they are examples that, you know what I mean, man, being true to yourself pays off.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, both are doing well. You know, Marshawn, you know, he's just, dude is about as real as it get. I heard stories about him on the streets out there. You know that he was,
man,
you know, bro.
The first time that I met him, man, I didn't know who he was. I just thought he was mean mugging me. You feel me? I thought
he was in the club.
I thought we was gonna get into it with him, but he was looking at me like, man, that's Mac Moore. I'm looking at him like, man, who is this big motherfucker right here? Like, we gonna have to get on him? You feel me? But you know, ever since that day, you know what I mean? I met him, man. He bought me a Patron and a Hennessy mix. Like, this motherfucker drink that, and I thought that, oh, this is the craziest shit. He really drink Patron and Hennessy mix. I'm a Trinity, right? And, you know, we became cool, you know what I mean? Even he done jumped on stage with me, man, at some spots. And, you know, he came to my record release, jumped on stage with me and sung Wide Open with me, you know what I mean? He real as they get, all the way solid, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just the Bay Area flavor, man. We got that, you know, that attitude, man. And, you know, shit is real. You feel me? And we all represent that. We all represent being individuals, being true to themselves. You know, and just, man, doing you.
Definitely, man. We got to get the book.
Definitely.
I do books heavy. I do books heavy. Yours and Yella's, you know, in a long line of reads, I have to cop. You know, we're about
definitely
to close shop.
Right now, it's on Amazon.
Know.
Check me out on Amazon. Okay. You know, my opinion, everybody listening, man, go out there and get that today. You know what I mean? It's a great read. You know, it's very, I definitely discuss a lot of hip-hop history, you know, and it's an honest, you know, look at a life lived in hip-hop. Feel me?
Definitely. So, I mean, obviously you're far from finished with it. I mean, you're far from finished with your career, Mac. I mean, as you keep going, you know, doing this, I mean, what else would you, you know, like to do, you know, as you keep going with it?
I mean, my next thing, you know, I have made records, I have written a book, you know what I mean, I have done a film, you feel me, you know, I've done a film, you know, I might, you know what I mean, want to do like a one-man show, you know what I mean, just so I can be through the stage, and through that, I would have created on every, you know, on every artist thing besides painting and shit like that. But as far as like movies, listening, reading, and, you know, the stage, I mean, that'd be dope. That'd just be a dope, you know, thing to add with me creating, you feel me? So I always want to take it up. I always want to do something new. I always want to challenge myself. And I just, you know, I want to, you know, live a life of art, you know what I mean? And expression, you know, that's important to me. You feel me? So, you know, it ain't no telling, man, but we going to keep pushing. We keeping the knocks coming, you know what I mean? Keeping the shows live, you feel me? You know, I got new videos dropping and shit all the time. So just, you know, we keeping it pushing. You know, if those who want to follow me on all social media apps, The Real Mac Maul, you know, talk to me, I talk back, you feel me? All the promoters out there that want to book me, you know what I mean, contact me through Macmar Booking, you know what I mean, and holler at me, and, man, hopefully I'll see y'all on the road one day.
Man, look, when you talk about a one-man show, I instantly thought about Mike Tyson and the genius one-man show that he did. I mean, that was just something to watch. You know,
I mean, we got
really
stories. Like, when you read my book, you know what I mean? That can be the show. If I just, you know, got on stage and did that and really told you about my life, you know what I mean? If you read the book, you can see where I'm going with it, because it's just like, you know, it's valleys and peaks, and it's an honest look. It's an honest human look. And even though if you never heard my music, there's something in that book that you can relate to, because it's an American story. It's a story about somebody chasing their dreams and catching it. And, you know, it's an honest look at life. You feel me? So even if it's something that you can learn from every aspect of my book, or something that you done went through, you know what I mean? So even if you don't know me, it's something there that you can relate to.
I mean, we got a few minutes left. I mean, Matt, for us, we're just honored, man. I mean, somebody, a living legend, in a long line of legends we've had on this show, you're another one that we grew up listening to. We love your contributions. We love what you have given us in our nostalgia. We're fans. I mean, and we really, really, really appreciate this time that, you know, you have given us, you know, the game that you've blessed us with, the wisdom that you have imparted. It's always this is why we do what we do, because we want to recognize those who have touched us in a way that have inspired us to do what we do. And we can't thank you enough for everything that not only you've given us, but the whole world.
Man, I appreciate it, brother, and I want to thank y'all, you know what I mean, for having me today on the show, you know what I mean? It was a dope interview, man, and I appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir, man. We love the bill, bro.
Yeah, man. Anybody want to shout out before we get out of here?
Man, shout out to y'all, you know what I mean, man, and shout out to everybody listening, you know what I mean? Check me out, follow me on you know what I mean? Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter, you know, The Real Mac Marr, man, and I'm going to holler at y'all, man. Thank you.
Definitely, man. And, you know, you know, we're going to keep
gonna
supporting
keep in touch
anything.
Too, bro.
Yeah.
Please do, man. Whenever y'all, you know, want to holler at me, or if I got something to promote, I'm definitely going to get at you.
Definitely, man. We'll definitely get you on IG in the comments, man, so you'll know it's us when we come through.
All right, straight up, man. Y'all, thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you again. God bless.
Man.
All right, y'all be cool, man. Much love. Peace.
Much love. Peace.